B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Pei Zayin. We're going to start the first Mishnah of the next Perek, Perek Ha'isha. Says the Mishnah, and we know, and we've learned about this already, that in order for a person to be allowed to eat from a Korban Pesach, he has to be registered on a Korban Pesach. Normally a person would register himself. He would go to the head of a group and say, I would like to register in your group on your Korban Pesach, and that's how he would become part of that Korban Pesach. There are circumstances where somebody else, so to speak, is a shliach, an agent on behalf of somebody else to register them. And we're going to discuss this more later on in the perek, but there are circumstances where more than one person will register a single individual with a Korban Pesach or on two different Korban Pesachs, and then somehow we're going to have to determine which Korban Pesach is the one that that person belongs to. Says the Mishnah that one of those examples would be a woman, Ha'isha bizman she'i bebeis ba'alo, then shochat oleo ba'alo, v'shochat oleo ovya. A woman who's living with her husband, and what happens if also her husband and also her father register her on their Korban Pesach? The father on his, the husband on his. Then toichal mishel ba'alo, unless she explicitly said, I choose to belong to my father's Korban Pesach, then the stoma, we take it for granted that the Korban Pesach that she's associated to is the one of her husband. The next halacha in the Mishnah, holcho regel rishon. What happens if the first Yom Tov, the first Pesach, the first Yom Tov after they got married, la'asos bevesovia, and it was the custom that the first Yom Tov after they get married, that the young couple go to her parents, then in that event, in such a circumstance, shochat oleo avia, v'shochat oleo ba'alo, then if both her husband and her father each registered her on their own independent Korban Pesachs, then toichal b'mokim shehiroitze, there's no taking for granted that she wanted one over the other, and therefore she can eat whichever Korban Pesach she desires. And this is going to be discussed in the Gemara. Continues the Mishnah, yosim sheshochatu olov apotropsin. If you have an orphan, and there are people who are responsible for the orphan's belongings, for the property, for his money, and if you had a number of apotropsin, a number of people responsible for this orphan, then yoichal b'mokim shehoroitza, he can eat in any place of any of the Korban Pesachs that any one of the apotropsin registered him under. Continues the Mishnah, eved shel shnei shutvin, if you have a single slave belonging to two partners, lo yoichal mishel shneen, he's not allowed to eat with any, because the half that belongs to the other shutuf was not given permission to be registered with the Korban Pesach of the other shutuf. If this Eved belonged to Reuven and Shimon, then the Shimon's part in the Eved had no permission to be registered on Reuven's Korban Pesach, and Reuven's part of the Eved had no permission to be registered under Shimon's Korban Pesach. And therefore he cannot eat neither with Reuven nor with Shimon. The only way he'll be able to eat from the Korban Pesach is if Reuven and Shimon unanimously agree that both parts of the Eved can be registered on a single Korban Pesach. Misha chetzi Eved v'chetzi ben chayrin. What happens if a person is 50% of him is a slave, 50% of him is free? He's his own boss, so to speak. Then lo yeichal mishel raboy, if the owner of his 50%, the 50% of slave, if his master registered him, then he still cannot eat from his master's Korban Pesach, because we take it for granted that his master did not intend to register the half of the Eved, which is free, which does not belong to that master. And therefore, again, the free part, the ben chayrin part, cannot eat from the Korban Pesach of the master. Says the Gemara, Shammas Mino, from the second case in the Mishnah, where it said that if at the first Pesach, after a young couple got married, they went to the father of the wife's home for Pesach, then in that case, if both her husband and her father shechted the Korban Pesach on her behalf, she can eat whichever one she wants. The Gemara says, if she can choose when she is eating, at the time at the meal of the Korban, at the Seder night, she can then choose which one she wants to eat, that would mean yesh brera, because we know that the Korban Pesach actually has to be shechted and the blood sprinkled on behalf of the people in the group. And if she's only going to determine later on at the meal which Korban Pesach she's belonging to, that could only work if we follow a concept called brera, which means that retroactively we can determine what was the intention earlier on at the time of the shechita or the time of the zrika. Because if you could not retroactively determine that, then it will not help that she decides later on which one she wants to eat. It will not be considered as if it was shechted on behalf of this person. Says the Gemara, no. My roitza, when the Mishnah says that roitza, she can, b'mokim shehi roitza, she can eat whatever she wants, whatever she desires, it doesn't mean that she can choose when they're eating the Korban Pesach. No, because it could well be that ein breira, you do not have proof from this Mishnah that yesh breira. And what does it mean, b'mokim shehi roitza? It means that she can choose at the time of the Shechita. She has to determine at the time before the Shechita which group, which Korban Pesach she actually wants to belong to, either her father's or her husband's. Says the Gemara, what did we see in our Mishnah? In our Mishnah, we took it for granted that the first Pesach, the regel rishon, the first Yom Tov of a newly married couple, then it cannot be taken for granted whether she wants to belong to her husband or to her father. However, after that, from the later Yomim Tovim, there the beginning of the Mishnah says, Toichal Mishel Bala, we take it for granted that she wants to belong to her husband's Korban Pesach. We're going to now have a brisa that seems to say differently. Uraminhu, Isha, Regel or Rishoin, Oicheles Mishel Ovia, that there it says in the brisa that it's the first Yom Tov, the first Pesach, where we take it for granted that she wants to be with joined onto her father's Korban Pesach. Mikan ve'elech, but all future Pesachs, all future Yomim Tovim, Roitza Yicheles Mishel Ovia, Roitza Mishel Balo, there it's not taken for granted one way or another, and whichever she chooses, that's where she can eat the Korban Pesach. It seems to be almost the opposite to our Mishnah that says that the first Yontav, it's not to be determined one way or another, and all the other Yomim Tovim, the future Pesachs, there we take it for granted that she wants to be with her husband. So that's the question of the Gemara. Answers the Gemara, Loi Kashya. Kan Berudufa Leilich, where it says that we take it for granted that she wants to be the first Yom Tov with her father, that means in the Braisa, that Eicheles Mishel Ovia is only when we see that she's eager, the first Yom Tov, she's eager to go to her father's home. And Kan, but our Mishnah, where in the first Yom Tov we say that you cannot take it for granted, there we say Bushaina Rudufa, that's when she's not particularly eager to run to her father's house. So we say if she's not particularly eager, then it's 50-50, she can do whatever she wants on that first Pesach. Dichsiv. Where do we find such a concept that she should be eager to go to her father's house? So Rashi says we're talking about a case, or Rashi seems to say we're talking about a case where if she feels very more closer connected to her father's home than to her husband, to her new home, that's called Radufa. But the Gemara is bringing a posuk, which is a similar concept that we find that a woman would be eager, especially the first Yom Tov after she gets married, to go back to her father's house. Dechsiv, it says in the posuk, Oz, the posuk starts, Ani choymo, I am like a wall, v'shodai kemigdolos, and my breasts are like towers, and the Gemara is going to discuss that soon. Oz ho yisi ba'enov, then I was in his eyes, k'moitzei sholim, as if I've been found to be sholim, to be complete, to be fully accepted. V'omer Rabbi Yechanan said, what does that mean? And this is a pasuk in Shir Hashirim that compares the connection between Klal Yisrael and Hashem to a couple, a spouse, to a married couple. Rabbi Yechanan says that it's kechalo shenimtzeis shleimo bebeis chomio. It's like a kalo, a newly married girl who has been fully accepted and received in her parents-in-law's house. Uradufosh is eager leilich to go lehagid shvacha to tell her praises of her parents-in-law, and the way that means to praise herself in the way she's been accepted by her parents-in-law, Bebeis Ovia. She's eager to report that to her father, and that would typically be soon after they get married. So in the event that she's already been and told her father and her parents how much she's been accepted, then that first Pesach, she would not be particularly eager to go to her father's house. And then it's 50-50. However, if she hasn't yet been to tell her parents and she's eager to go home, in that event, the Braisa says that we take it for granted that that first Yom Tov, she wants to be registered with her father rather than with her husband. And Rashi explains that the same will apply to all future Yomim Tovim. A type of woman who's very, very eager to constantly go back to her father's home and is always being drawn back to her father's home, then even on future Yomim Tovim, on future Pesachs, we do not know on an absolute level that she wants to be with her husband over her parents, and therefore it's 50-50 and she has to decide each time where she wants to eat. However, if she's not particularly eager to run home all the time, then on the future Pesachs, we can take for granted that she wants to be with her husband. And that way, the Gemara has answered the contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Continues the Gemara. Kedichsiv, and there's another posuk, which is now going, which discusses the way a married woman is eager to express her praises in her, with by her parents-in-law. The pasuk says, "Kedichsiv v'hoyo b'yomahu." It will be on that day, says Hashem. Ne'um Hashem, says Hashem, "Tikri ishi v'loy tikri li oid bali." That Klal Yisrael, or the Hashem, is going to be called a husband and not just a master. We know that when a couple get married, then first there's a kiddushin. And back in the days, the kiddushin was done a year before the nisuin, and then she would be married, and almost all the halachas of a married woman would apply to her, but she would still be living in her father's home. And only later she would be a nisuin, there would be the final part of the marriage, and then she would move in with her husband. So Klal Yisrael, so Hashem said that there's a point where Klal Yisrael are so connected to Hashem, they're not just called Bali, which is my master, which is similar to the stage of after Kiddushin, rather Ishi, they're called a husband, which is a much closer connection. Omar Rabbi Yechanon, and Rabbi Yechanon explain that, Kechala bebeis chomeo, this is like a new bride, a kala, in her father-in-law's house, v'loi kechala bebeis ovia, and not anymore a kala who is still in her father's home, rather she's now a kala that's been totally accepted in her parents-in-law's home because she's moved in together with her husband, and the relationship between her and her husband has now become a full one as a married couple. Continues the Gemara. Ochois lonu ktano v'shodayim ein lo. The posuk, there's another posuk in Shir Hashirim. Ochois lonu ktano v'shodayim ein lo. What does that mean? We have a little sister, and she has no breasts. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan is now explaining how this pasuk is talking about Klal Yisrael, or parts of Klal Yisrael, says Zu Elom. This is talking about the place of Elam, and it's actually referring to Ezra, who lived in this place of Elam. Shezach Salilmoid, that Ezra, he merited whilst he was still in Elam, whilst he was still in Bavel, whilst he was still in that place, it was actually Shushan, in Elam, that he was merited to learn. V'leizach Salilamid, that's what it means, that he was compared to not having breasts. Breasts is, means that a mother is able to feed and to give sustenance and life to a child. And Ezra, who lived all the while, he lived in Elam, he was learning but was not managing to teach Klal Yisrael. It was only later, when he went to Bavel, then Ezra became much more influential, and that's when he started teaching Klal Yisrael. Continues the Gemara. The Pasuk says, and this is the beginning of the Pasuk that we mentioned before, of Ozo Yisi Be'enov Kamoitzeis Shalom. The Pasuk starts, Ani Choymo V'shodai Kamigdolis, that I am a wall, and my breasts are like towers. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, again Rabbi Yochanan is explaining this. Ani Choymo, what does it mean, I am a wall? This is referring to Zu Torah. It's referring to Torah, that is a wall that protects Klal Yisrael. V'shodai kamigdolos, and my breasts are like towers. Zu elu talmidei chachomim. These are the talmidei chachomim who are teaching other people Torah and giving them sustenance, giving them life. Real life is only Torah, and that's why they're compared to breasts. Rava Omer, Rav interprets this a bit differently. Ani choyma, when the pasuk says that I am a wall, zu knesses Yisrael, this is referring to Klal Yisrael. V'shodai kamigdolos. And my breasts are like towers. What's that referring to? Elu bote knesiyos ubote midrashos. These are the homes where people daven and learn, which are compared to towers because they are what protects Klal Yisrael. Continues the Gemara. Omer zutra bar tuvya omer rav. May dichsiv. How are we going to explain the following pasuk? The pasuk says, Asher boneinu, our sons, kanetiyim, are like saplings, which are like little trees that have not yet been bent out of place, they've not yet been ruined. They're like fresh, healthy saplings. Mugudolim binuroyim, they have been nurtured from their youth. Benoiseinu kezovyos, our daughters are like corners. Mechutovois, tavnis heichol, crafted in the form of the heichol, which is the Beis Hamikdosh. How are we going to understand that? So the Gemara explains in the name of Rav as follows. Asher boneinu kenetiyim, when it says that our sons are like saplings, elu bachurei Yisrael, these are the young men of Klal Yisrael, shelo tamu tam chet, they have not tasted the taste of Averis yet. Benoiseinu kezovyos, when it says that our daughters are like corners, elu besulois Yisrael, these are referring to the virgins of Klal Yisrael, the young unmarried girls in Klal Yisrael, sheoigdois pischem lebalem. And the word oigdois Rashi says there's two explanations. Either they keep their openings sealed for their husbands, or after they're married, they reveal to their husbands what's going on with their cycles and whether they are mutter or aser. And since they are oigdois pischem lebalem, therefore they are considered like corners which are closed. And that is, it means corners, the Gemara is soon going to say, actually means a certain fullness. Corners are considered as filled, and these girls, even though, these women, these girls, even though they are filled with desire, nonetheless they override and overcome their desires in order to keep to the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, and they keep themselves protected till they get married, and they are open with their husbands as to where they're holding, even though they may have a drive and a desire not to reveal to their husbands when they're osur, nonetheless they overcome that, and that is the praise that we give these girls, b'neseinu kezovyos, nuchutovois tavnes heichel. V'cheinu oimer, where do we find that the word zovyos, corners, is a term used as being full? As we saw here, that it's in spite of the fact that they are full of desire, they overcome their desires, because it says in the pasuk, "Umolu kamizrok kezovyos mizbeach." They will be filled up like a bowl, like the corners of the mizbeach. So you see that when it speaks about kezovyos, the corners of the mizbeach, the pasuk refers to it as umolu, that they are full. Or you could learn out from a different pasuk. The pasuk says, "Mezovenu, our corners, maleim, are full." Again, we see that corners are associated to being full. Mefikim mizan elzan, that they provide from one harvest to another harvest. So again, you see in the pasuk that corners are a fullness, and the praise given to these girls is that even though they are full of desire, they overcome their desires. The pasuk says, "Mechutovois tavdis heichal." They are crafted in the form of the Beis Hamikdash. What does that mean? Elu ve'elu, both the young boys, the young men in Klal Yisrael that never experienced the taste of Averis, and the girls that are protecting the kedusha of Klal Yisrael, male aleinu kosov. On both of those, the pasuk says that ke'ilu nivna heichal biyamim. It's as if the Beis Hamikdash was built in their days, and that's what it means. That mechutovois, they are crafted in the form of the Beis Hamikdash. And now the Gemara is carrying on with the pasuk that compares Klal Yisrael, that means the connection between Klal Yisrael and Hashem, to a marriage. Says the Gemara, it says in the pasuk, Dvar Hashem, the word of Hashem, Ashahoyo el Hoshea, that came to Hoshea, the Goymer, Ben Beyame Uziah, in the days of Uziah, Yoisam, in the days of Yoisam, Yechizkiyo, Malchei Yehuda, and Chizkiyo, the king of Yehuda. Yoisam Ochos Yechizkiyo Melech Yehuda. That means it's speaking about Hoshea. Hoshea was one of the four Nevi'im. There was Hoshea, Yeshaya, Omis, and Micha. All four of them, they prophesied during a period of time where four kings of Yehuda reigned. They survived, and so to speak, buried, but they survived four kings of Yehuda. So the Gemara says, that means before the Gemara discusses what's actually about Hoshea is going to explain the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Hashem, it first tells us this first opening pasuk that Dvar Hashem Ashahoyo El Hoshea, when it says B'yomei Uziyah Yoisam Ochoz and Yechizkiyo Melech Yehuda, the Gemara says that B'perek Echod Nisnabu Arba Nevi'im, that four Nevi'im prophesized in one era, and in this era was an era that saw four kings. The four kings were Uziyah, Yoisam, Ochoz, and Chizkiyo. The Godil Shebekulam, the greatest of all of them, was Hoshea. Shenemar, as it says, Tchilas Diber Hashem Bo Hoshea, that it says that Hashem first spoke to Hoshea. That's what it says in the Pasuk. And the big question is, that was really Hoshea the first person Hashem spoke to? V'chish Bo Hoshea Diber Tchilo? Hashem first spoke to Hoshea. That's not accurate. V'aloi m'moshe ad Hoshea, Hashem already spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, and from Moshe Rabbeinu until Hoshea, come a Nevi'im. There were many, many other prophets that Hashem had spoken to besides for Hoshea. What does it mean that he first spoke to Hoshea? Omer Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it doesn't mean that he first spoke to Hoshea as being the first prophet Hashem ever spoke to. Rather, Tchilo le'arbo Nevi'im, he was the first of those four Nevi'im that lived in that era. Shenisnabu bo'ise perik, that prophesied in that time. Ve'elohein, who are these four? Hoshea, Yeshaya, Amos, and Micha. These were the four Nevi'im that all lived in the era of these four kings mentioned in the Pasuk above. And Rashi and Tosfos discuss exactly where we find with these four Nevi'im proof that indeed that they lived in the same era that they spanned these four kings. And now the Gemara is going back to, which is why the Gemara brought this in, where we see in the context of Hoshea that Klal Yisrael and Hashem are compared to a marriage. Omer le HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo Hoshea, Hashem said to the Novi Hoshea, Bonecha Chotu, your children have sinned, referring to Klal Yisrael. What should have happened is that Hoshea should have said to Hashem, Bonechohim, why are you saying they're my children? Hashem, they're your children. Bneichan unechohim, they're the children of your favored ones, Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. Bnei Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, the sons of Avram Avinu, Yitzchok Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu. Galgil rachamecho alein, he should have asked Hashem and said, arouse your mercy for them. And it was not enough that Hoshea didn't actually respond that way. Instead of that, he said to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the world, Kol Olam Shelchohi, the whole world is yours. If you're not satisfied with Klal Yisrael, exchange them for another nation. Omer Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem was not happy with that response. Hashem said, Ma ese lezokin ze, what should I do with this sage, referring to Hoshea? How can I teach him what it means, a relationship with, so to speak, with a spouse and with a family, that which is the relationship between I, Hashem, and Klal Yisrael, that even when they sin, it's not about exchanging them. Omer loy, so Hashem said, Leich go, v'kach isha zoino, and take a woman who's a zoino, and they will get married to her and have children with from her and through her, and they will be called bonim znunim, which are children from a zayna. And we'll see later that these children, because she is a zayna, the husband never really knows if her children are from him or from somebody else. And afterwards Hashem said, and this is so to speak, Hashem is speaking to, saying to himself, so to speak, that afterwards I'm going to tell Hoshea, Shalcheo me'al ponecho, send her away from you. Send her away, divorce her. Imu yochel ishlech, if he's going to be able to send her away and disconnect from her in that way, afani eshleches Yisrael, then we'll consider, and then I'll send Klal Yisrael and I'll exchange them. And obviously Hashem knew that this was not to happen. It was just that this was Hashem's way of showing Hoshea that his response was inappropriate. And what happened afterwards? Shenema, it says in the Pasuk, Vayoyim Hashem el Hoshea. Hashem said to Hoshea, Leich kach lecha eishes nunim v'yaldi znunim. Go and take for yourself a woman of znus and get married to her and have children that will be children from a zayna. Uchsiven, it says in the pasuk, v'yelech that Hoshea went, v'yikach es goymer bas develim. He took a woman who was a zayna and she was actually called goymer bas develim, which the daughter of Dvelim, that would be, that means Goymer, the daughter of Dvelim, that would be the literal translation, that would be her name. And the Gemara now explains exactly what this means. And there's going to be a number of explanations in the Gemara. Omar Rav, Rav explained, Goymer, what does it mean Goymer? It means that Shahakil Goymerim Ba, that all the people who come into contact with her, then they all finish with her, Bas Dvelim, the daughter of Dvelim, which is that ill repute would be the right way of saying that. That means Dibora bas Dibora, a woman who had a very bad name, a very bad reputation, the daughter of a woman who had a very bad reputation. That means the word Divloim is like a double Dibora, a double bad reputation, which means that she had a bad reputation of being a Zoyna and her mother had a bad reputation of being a Zoyna. That's how Rav explained why she was called Goymer Bas Divloim. And Goymer means that all the people, they would finish with her. Rashi says, Goymerim Ba, their Taivas Libom, all their lusts and desires would be let out on her and through her. Ushmuel Omar. Shmuel says, why was she called Goymer Bas Divloim? He says, because Shemasuka befi hakoil kedvela, because she's sweet to everybody like a dvela, like a pressed fig. Rabbi Yechanan Omer, Rabbi Yechanan says, Shakoil doshim bo kedvela. Rabbi Yechanan, as with Shmuel, learns that the word dvela is alluding to a dried fig, but not regarding its sweetness, rather everybody is trodding upon her and pressing her like one presses figs. Also a dvela. Another explanation, why is she called Goymer, Dovar Achir? Omer of Yehuda, Shebikshu legamir mamoinon shal Yisrael biyomer, that they sought to destroy, to finish off the wealth of Klal Yisrael in her days, in these days of Hoshea and Goymer bas Dvelim. And Rabbi Yechanan says that not only that they wanted to finish off the wealth of Klal Yisrael, but in actual fact, Bozazu, they did plunder the Gomru and finish off the wealth of Klal Yisrael in her days. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Ki Ibdom Melech Aram, that the king of Aram destroyed them, Vayesimeim Keofor Lodush, and he made them like dirt to be trampled upon. So that's why she was called Goymer from the term of finishing, because in her days the Melech Aram finished off the wealth of Klal Yisrael. And now the Gemara continues with the dialogue, what happened with Hoshea and his new wife, the Zoyna called Goymer Bas Dvelim. Vatahar, she conceived, Vateled Bein, and she bore him a son. Vayoymer Hashem Elov, and Hashem said to him, Vateled Le Ben, She gave birth to a son, and Hashem said to him, Kro Shmoi Yisrael. You should call him Yisrael. Why? Ki oid ma'at, for in a short while, ufokadati as to me Yisrael, I will avenge the blood of Yisrael, al beis Yehu, on the house of Yehu, veishbati mamluchus beis Yisrael, and I will terminate the malchus, the monarchy of the house of Israel, of the house of Klal Yisrael. And this is referring to the fact that means this, the word, V'kroshmo Yisrael, Yisrael was referring to that soon Klal Yisrael would actually go into Golus. V'tar hoid v'teled ben, v'teled bas, she conceived again and she gave birth to a daughter. V'yikro lo shmo loy ruchomo, and Hashem said to him, call this daughter loy ruchomo, which literally means not pitied. Because I will no longer have pity for Klal Yisrael, that I should forgive them. which Hashem was really saying that I'm going to I'm no longer going to pity Klal Yisrael, which would mean that had I yes had pity on them, then I would forgive them. But I'm no longer going to have pity on them, and no longer will I forgive them. And we'll soon see later that even though this was a terrible decree, but the very mention of pity and forgiveness has some rachamim in it. Vatar vateled bein, she conceived again, she had another son. Vayomer Hashem Elov, Hashem said to him, Kro shemoi loy ami, call this son by the name loy ami, not my people. Ki atem loy ami, for you're not my people. Vanoichi loy elochem, and I will not be yours. This was the terrible decrees, that means the two sons and daughter that Hoshea had from this Zoyna, the names that they were given, they resembled and alluded to three gezeiros. One, they would go into Golus, another one, Loi Arachim, and another one, Loi Ami. Says the Gemara, La'acha shenoldu loy shnei bonim uvas achas, after she gave birth to two sons and a daughter, Omer le'Hakadosh Baruch Hu Hoshea, Hashem now said to Hoshea, Loi hoya lecha lilmoid mimoshe rabcha, should you not have learned from Moshe Rabbeinu, your teacher, Shekivan Shedibarati Imoi Pirish Mineisha, that as soon as I, Hashem, spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, then he separated from his wife. Af ato, so to you, says Hashem to Hoshea, Bedoil Atzmecho Mimeno, separate yourself from this Zoyna, from this wife, and divorce her. Omer loy, so he said, Hoshea said to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Master of the World, Yesh li boni mimeno, I have children from her. I can't just remove her, nor can I divorce her. And the Mefarshim discuss why not, and what would happen if should he yes divorce her. And obviously, he wasn't intending to not divorce her, because Hashem said that he should divorce her. He was just explaining to Hashem why he hadn't yet divorced her, because the difficulty that having the children from her posed for him. Omer le HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem then said to Hoshea, Uma ato she'ishtecha zoyna. Now for you, who your wife is a zoyna, ubonecho b'nei zenunim, and your children are b'nei zenunim, ve'inatu yodea, and you don't know, im shel chohen, im shel achirim heim. You have no way of knowing whether these children are yours or whether she did znus with somebody else. Kach. And nonetheless, this is your response, and you're expressing how difficult it is for you to separate from her. Yisrael Shem Bonai, Klal Yisrael, who are my children, Bneich Bechuni, the children of those that passed all my tests, Bnei Avram Yitzchok VeYaakov, the children of Avram Yitzchok VeYaakov, that they are very, very dear to me. Echod me'arba kinyonim shekanisi ba'ilomai. They are one of the four things that are so dear, and like a person runs after acquiring things that are dear to him, so, and acquiring is called a kinyon. Hashem says, one of the four things that are so dear to me, that so to speak, I acquired them, were the Ovis. And Klal Yisrael are the children of the Ovis. And you want me just to reject them and to get rid of them? And now the Gemara interjects to say to with a Mishnah in Ovis of about these four kinyonim. What are these four acquisitions which were four things that were very close and dear to Hashem? Torah kinyon echod, one of them is Torah. The Chsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Hashem kononi reishis darki, that the Torah says Hashem has acquired me the beginning of his path, and referring to Torah. Another one of the kinyonim is Shemaim V'oretz, heaven and earth, kinyon echod. That's another one of the things that, so to speak, are dear to Hashem, and Hashem acquired them. Dechsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Koinei Shemaim V'oretz, that Hashem acquires heaven and earth. Beis HaMikdosh kinyon echod. The Beis HaMikdosh also is something very dear to Hashem and is considered an acquisition. Dechsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, Har Zeh Kontzo Yeminoi, that this mountain, referring to the Beis HaMikdosh, which his right hand acquired. I mean, so to speak, the right hand of Hashem acquired the Beis HaMikdosh. So you see, the Beis HaMikdosh is also called a kinyan. And Yisrael kinyan echod and Klal Yisrael are also considered a kinyan. Dechsiv amzu konisa, that these people, Klal Yisrael, you Hashem acquired them. And now Hashem continues, Va'ato Amarto, and you say that this Klal Yisrael, which is my kinyan, the son very dear to me, the sons of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, and you're saying, Hoshea, Heviram Bu'uma Acheres, I should exchange them for another nation? Kivun sheyodo shechoto. At that point, Hoshea realized that he had sinned by telling Hashem that he should exchange Klal Yisrael, and he realized that because of that, Hashem had decreed against Klal Yisrael three things: Golus, Loi Ruchomo, and Loi Ami. So Omad Levakish Rachmim al Atzmoi. So he started to beg Hashem for mercy on himself. Omad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said back to Hoshea, Al Shata Mevakish Rachmim al Atzmocha. All the while, or instead of asking mercy on yourself, Bakish Rachmim al Yisrael, you should beg for mercy on Klal Yisrael. Look what's happened, that these three things have been decreed against Klal Yisrael based on the fact that you didn't beg mercy for them. Shekozarati alem sholish gezeiros ba'avurcha, that because of you I've decreed on Klal Yisrael, I've passed three decrees against them. Omad ubikish rachmim Hoshea arose and he started begging Hashem for mercy. Ubitil Gezeira, and he managed to annul those decrees. V'hischil avarchon, and then Hashem started to give Klal Yisrael the brachas. Shenemar, as it says, V'hoyom misbar b'nei Yisrael k'chayil hayom, that the number of Klal Yisrael are going to be many, like sand in the sea. V'hoyom b'mokim ashayomer lahem, loy ami atem, and in the place where Hashem had initially said, you're not my people, ye'omer lahem b'nei el choy, that Hashem said to them, you are the children of a living God. V'nikbetzu b'nei Yisrael, v'nikbetzu b'nei Yehuda, v'nei Yisrael yachdov, and the children of Yehuda and Klal Yisrael will be assembled together. Uzrati oli ba'oret, and I will sow her for myself in the land. V'richamti es loy ruchomo, and I have pity on the ones that I said, loy ruchomo, that I will not pity. V'omarti l'loy ami, and to those who I said initially, Loi Ami, that you're not mine, you're not my people, Ami Ato, you are now my people. And in these psukim we see that Hashem reversed all three decrees, also that Klal Yisrael would be collected, that they would not be anymore in Golus, also Hashem would have mercy on them, and also they would be considered as His. Continues the Gemara. And now we're going back to what we started with, that Hoshea was one of the four Nevi'im that survived four kings. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Oy lo l'rabonus, woe unto those who hold on to authority, shemekaveres es bailo, because those who have authority, it buries having authority buries those that are holding the authority. She'ein lecho kol novi v'novi, there was not a single prophet of those four prophets, sheloi kipach arbo malochim b'yomov, who did not survive four kings. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Chazoin Yeshayahu ben Omoitz, Ashechozo al Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, that the vision, the Nevuah of Yeshayahu, the son of Omoitz, which he saw, that means he saw the Nevuah regarding Yehuda and Yerushalayim, and it says it was Bimei Uziyah, Yoisam, Ochoz, and Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. So you see that all four kings were mentioned, namely that Yeshayahu Anovi, he prophesied in a period of four kings. He survived four kings. And it seems that those kings obviously died because they were kings. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Having Rabbonus, having authority, is not conducive to longevity. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mipnei ma zocho Yerovam ben Yoyosh melech Yisrael li'imono yisvimalchi Yehuda. We know that Klal Yisrael was split. Half of Klal Yisrael were called Yehuda. The other half were called Yisrael. And over here, there was the Malchi Yehuda, were the four kings that were mentioned. And they were Uziyah, Yoisam, Ochoz, and Chizkiyahu. And together with them, the Pasuk mentions Yerovam ben Yoyosh, Melech Yisrael. Why was he mentioned together? Why did he merit being mentioned together with the Malchi? Why did he merit being mentioned together with the four kings of Yehuda? It was in the merit of the fact that he did not accept, he didn't believe the Lashon Hara, the slander that was said against Omois. Where do we see that indeed that Yerovam ben Yoyosh was counted together with the Malchi Yehuda? It says in the Pasuk, Dvar Hashem Ashahoyo El Hoshea ben Be'eri, that Hashem spoke to Hoshea, B'yimei Uziyah Yoisam Ocho Yizichizkiyo Melech Yehuda, And there it mentions the four kings of Yehuda, Uzziah, Yoisam, Ochoz, and Chizkiyahu. Ubimi Yerovam ben Yoyosh, Melech Yisrael. And in the days, when it's referring to the era of Hoshea, it mentions not only was it in the days of those four Malchi, Yehuda was also in the days of Yerovam ben Yoyosh, Melech Yisrael. So we see that Yerovam was counted together with the kings of Yehuda. And we said it was in the merit that he didn't receive the Lashon Hara, or he didn't accept the Lashon Hara against Omus. Uminolon deloi kibel Lashon Hara. Where do we see that indeed he did not receive, he didn't accept the Lashon Hara against Omus? Tichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vayishlach Amatzio Koihein Beis El. Amatzio, who was a priest for Avodah Zarah, called Beis El, El Yerovam Melech Yisrael, he sent a message, a word to Yerovam Melech Yisrael. They were saying to him, Koshar Olecho, that Omis had conspired against you, etc. Uchsivan, it says in the next Pasuk, Kichoyomar Omis Bacherev Yomus Yerovam, and he said to him that, it means this, Amatzio said to Yerovam that Omis said that Bacherev Yomus Yerovam, that Yerovam should die with a sword. Omar, so Yerovam responded to that, Chas v'sholem Omar oisoi tzadik kach. Chas v'sholem, God forbid, it cannot be that Omis said this. V'im Omar, and if he did, if indeed he did say it, ma eser, I can do something to him, I can be angry at him, I can take revenge at him. No, shchina omro loy, was it not Hashem who told him to do so? So you see that he didn't accept the Lashon Hara against Omois, and in that merit he was mentioned together with the Malchi Yehuda. Omer Rebelozo, and Rebelozo explained, Afilu b'shas kasei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, and this is going back to the way Hashem responded after Hoshea begged him for mercy on Klal Yisrael, that even though Hashem was angry at the time with Klal Yisrael, Bonecho Chotu, nonetheless, Uzoicher es Rachamim, he remembers the attributes of mercy. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Ki lo Yosef oida rachim es beis Yisrael. He didn't say, I'm going to destroy Klal Yisrael. He said that I'm not going to continue, I will no longer have pity on Klal Yisrael. Hashem made mention of his attribute of pity, and that in itself is an attribute of mercy. Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Chanina Omar Mehocha, Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Chanina says that you see it from the words Ki nosei es Elohem, as if Hashem said, I will no longer have mercy and forgive them, which means that even though he was saying that I will not forgive them, he mentioned his attribute of forgiveness, of being able to forgive, and that in itself is mercy, that even when Hashem is angry, he refers to the attributes of mercy. V'omer Rabbi Loza, Another lesson from Rabbi Loza about how Hashem is merciful even when he seems to be angry. Loi hegla kodesh baruch hu es Yisrael lebeina umois, that even though Hashem sent Klal Yisrael in Golos, which was an act of anger, was an act of punishment, elo kodesh yitoisva lehem geirim, there was something very positive that came from it, because they were exiled amongst the other nations in order to attract those Goyim, who were supposed to come to Klal Yisrael, who were supposed to convert to Klal Yisrael, in order to add those Goyim to Klal Yisrael, that's why they were dispersed amongst the nations. Shneimer, as it says in the Pasuk, Uzrati oli ba'oretz, I will sow her for myself in the land. Klum odom zerea so, elo lahachnis kama kurim. When it says that Hashem sowed Klal Yisrael amongst the nations, when a person sows, what does that mean? If the Pasuk compares going to Golos to sowing, there must be some analogy, something common between the two. Does a person sow a saw, which is a small amount of produce? Elo lahachnis kama kurim. Is it not in order to reap afterwards a very large amount of produce, of, that means he sowed just a single saw, and he hopes to reap kamokurim. So too, when Klal Yisrael and Hashem sowed Klal Yisrael, he sent them to the nations of the world in the hope that even more of Klal Yisrael, of the Goyim, would add themselves to Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael would become much larger than it was when they went to Golus. Rabbi Yechonon Omar Mehocha, Rabbi Yechonon says that we can deduce this point from this pasuk, the one we mentioned before, "Verichamti es loy ruchomo," that I will pity on those who I've not had pity. It means even that the times when Hashem had reason not to have pity, Hashem says, "No, I will nonetheless have pity on them." And from there, you can learn that even B'shas kaseish l'kodesh baruch hu, then there's an element of rachmim there. Continues the Gemara. And this is another teaching from Rabbi Yochanan that's related to what we saw before from Hosea. Omar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Ma'i dichsiv. What is the meaning of the pasuk that says, Al talshein eved el adoinov. Do not slander a slave to his master. Penye kalelcho. Lest he curse you, va'oshomta, and you will be found guilty. And what does it say after that? Tuchsiv, it says in the pasuk, Doir oviv yekalil, that a generation that curses its father, ves'imoi lo yivorich, and does not bless its mother. And there seems to be a connection between these two psukim written next to each other. Mishum do oviv yekalil, ves'imoi lo yivorich, can it be that because it's a nation that curses its father and doesn't bless its mother, that's the reason al talshein, that you should not slander? What's one got to do with the other? Elo, not only has it not got to do with each other, it would seem to be the opposite, that there's every reason to speak against a nation like that. Says the Gemara, no. El afilu doir, even a nation, even a generation that's on stooped to such a low level, she'oviv yekalil ves imoy lo yevorich, that curses its father and does not bless its mother, nonetheless, al talshin eved el adoinov, you should not slander a slave to his master. Even when you have such a poor and lowly generation, don't speak badly to Hashem about that nation. Minolon, from where do we see that even when Klal Yisrael have stooped low, one should not speak negatively about Klal Yisrael? Mehoshea, from the whole incident with Hoshea, that Hashem said to Hoshea, Bonecho Chotu, your children have sinned, referring to Klal Yisrael, and Hoshea, so to speak, was Malshin, he said to Hashem, exchange them. Hashem didn't want that. Hashem wanted him to beg for mercy for Klal Yisrael, even though they had stooped to such a low level. Continues the Gemara. Omer Boishia, Maidich Siv, when it says in the Pasuk, Tzidkois Pirzoinoi B'Yisrael, that the righteous deed, they will recount the righteous deeds that Hashem has done, Pirzoinoi, to the open cities, B'Yisrael in Yisrael. What are these stokis? What is this righteousness that Hashem does that's associated to the openness of the cities of Klal Yisrael? Stoka osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Yisrael. Hashem performed a very righteous deed with Klal Yisrael. Shepizron. That the word Pizron, the word Pirzoinoi, doesn't only mean, as it does literally, the open cities. It actually means also a lotion of Pizur, which is scattering, being dispersed. That when Hashem scattered Klal Yisrael, Shepizron Beino Umois, what Hashem was actually doing was a very righteous act. There was something very positive with the way that Hashem scattered Klal Yisrael. V'hainu d'omer le hahu mino l'Rav Chanina. And we see this point with a dialogue, with a question that an apikiras, a heretic, had with Rav Chanina. What did the mean, this heretic, say to Rav Chanina? He said, Anan ma'alinon minaychum. Us heretics, we're better than you, Klal Yisrael. Ksiv b'chu, regarding you it is written, Kisheshes chadoshim yoshav sham, that he stayed there for 6 months and it was a war that was waged against Amalek, which is referred to as Edom, that for 6 months you were with Edom, and over the 6 months period you stayed there until you destroyed all the males of Edom. V'ilu anan, but as far as us heretics, we're not like you trying to destroy all the people who are against us, like you did that you destroyed all of Amalek. But isnuchu gabon kamoshoni, you, Klal Yisrael, have been with us, the heretics, for all these years. V'loiko avdinan luchumidi, and we've not done anything against you. You see, we haven't killed you like you killed Amalek. Omalei Reb Chanina responded to this heretic, to this mean, Ritzoincho yitapi lecho talmid echod. With your permission, I have a student, he's going to answer you, he'll deal with you. Nitfalei Reb Oishia. So Reb Oishia was called in order to deal and to respond to this mean, to this heretic. Omalei, he said to this mean, Mishum de lo yodiitu heicha tavdu. It's not true that you're better than us, and that's why you didn't kill us. The reason you didn't kill us is because you have no idea how to. because you have an issue here. If we would all be together in one place, of course you would have killed us all. But tachlinu kulu, you're probably thinking to yourselves that should we destroy all of them, lesnu gabaychu, we cannot destroy all of Klal Yisrael because they're not all here. They've been scattered amongst all the nations. We only have a certain amount of Klal Yisrael under our control. May de'ika gabaychu, should we kill? This is what Rabbi Oshia is saying to this mean. You're probably thinking that should we just kill those of Klal Yisrael who are under us, who are with us, that too wouldn't work. Because kori lechu, because the Yidden, the Klal Yisrael in other places, will get the whole world to say about you, nalchusa ketiosa. You're called a genocidal government that's just killing innocent people. Omerli, this mean actually responded to Rabbi Oshia and said, Gapo de Remoi, which he swore in the name of the wall of the Romans, which was an Avodah Zarah. Baha Noch Sinon Ubaha Salkinon. You're 100% right. This is what's occupying our minds all the time, how we can destroy you. So even though this mean initially came and said that he's better than us, what actually saved our name, and Rabbi Oshia brought this out to this mean, was the fact that we were scattered all over. So the fact that Hashem scattered us amongst the nations actually has a certain righteousness, a certain stalker to it. It's protecting Klal Yisrael. That even if Chas v'Sholem, they would get hurt in one place, they would not all get hurt. And in this case with the mean, we find that the very fact they were scattered actually is preventing the nations, or the minim, the Roshoim in one place, from destroying those parts of Klal Yisrael under their jurisdiction. Toner Abchir, another aspect of the Golos of Klal Yisrael, Maidich Siv, it says in the Pasuk, Elohim Hevin Darko, Hashem understands her ways, Vuhu Yodas Makoima, and he knew her place. What does that mean? Yoidea Kadosh Baruch Hu Es Yisrael, Hashem knows Klal Yisrael. She'einom Yecholin Lekabel Gzeiros, he knew they would not be able to withstand the cruel decrees, Gzeiros Achzorios Edoim, of Edom. And had Hashem exiled Klal Yisrael to Edom, they would not be able to withstand the cruel decrees. Lefikach heglo yisam leBavel. That's why Hashem, in that first Golos, he exiled Klal Yisrael to Bavel, and the Babylonians are less cruel somewhat than the other nations. So you see that even when Hashem sent Klal Yisrael out to Golos, since Hevin Darko and Yodas Mekoimo, he understood what Klal Yisrael can endure, and he didn't give them a challenge that they wouldn't be able to withstand. Va'omer Beloza, and now the Gemara is giving a few other explanations why Bavel, Babylonian, was chosen over Edom to be the place where Klal Yisrael was initially exiled to. Va'omer Beloza, lo yehegrela HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Yisrael, Hashem did not exile Klal Yisrael to Bavel, lebavel elo mepnei she'amuko kesho'il, because Bavel is referred to as being a very deep place. We know that Babylonian is very low. It's a deep place, and it's as deep as a concept called Sheol. And the reason being that Hashem had already said beforehand that Klal Yisrael are going to be redeemed from once they reach a place called Sheol. So Hashem said, I'm going to exile them to a place called Sheol, and their redemption will be quick in coming. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Miyat Sheol, Efdim, from the clutches of Sheol, I'm going to redeem them, I'm going to ransom them, Mimoves Eg Olim, and I'm going to redeem them from death. Reb Chanina said another reason why Klal Yisrael were exiled to Bavel, Bipnesha Koriv Lashoinam Kilshoin Torah, because the language of Bavel is similar somewhat to the language of the Torah, and therefore it would help the people in Golos understand Torah and not forget the Torah. And therefore Hashem did this tremendous chesed, and he said, if I'm exiling them, I'll exile them to a place where they'll be able to remain connected to Torah. Rabbi Yechanan said, Mipnei sheshigron lebeis imon, that Hashem sent Klal Yisrael back to their mother's home, which means to their original, to their origins. Where did Klal Yisrael come from? From Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu, he left from Bavel, and therefore Hashem sent them back to their origins, to Bavel. Mashal Adam Shakoas al Ishtoi, this is an analogy to a person who became angry with his wife. Leheichon Meshagra, where does he send her to? Lebeis Ima, to her mother's home. Vahainu de Rabbi Alexandria Omar, and this is what Rabbi Alexandria said, that Shloisha Chozru Lematoson, there are three things that return to their original source. Ve'eluhen, it's these, Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, Kesef Mitzrayim, the wealth of Mitzrayim, Uksav Luchois, and the letters, the writing on the Luchois that were given to Klal Yisrael. Yisrael, where do we find that Klal Yisrael returned to their source? Hod Omron, exactly as we saw here, that they returned to Bavel when they were exiled. Kesef Mitzrayim, where do we see that the wealth of Mitzrayim returned to Mitzrayim? Tichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vayhi b'shnois hachamishi lemelech Rechavam, that the fifth year of the reign of the king Rechavam, Ola Shishak, melech Mitzrayim, al Yerushalayim, that Shishak, the king of Yerushalayim, came to Yerushalayim, and he took back all the wealth that was found in Yerushalayim, and this was wealth that originated when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they took this wealth with them. This king, Shishak, melech Mitzrayim, took it all back. Ksav haluchos, where do we find that the letters of the Luchos returned back to their origins, to their source? Tichsiv va'ashabrim le'eneichem, I broke the tablets, I broke the Luchos before your eyes. What does it mean, before your eyes? Says the Gemara Tana, we learnt in a Braisa, Luchos nishbru, that the tablets, the Luchos themselves, were broken, Moshe Rabbeinu broke them, va'oisyos porochos, and the letters flew up, back to the heaven, back to their source. Continues the Gemara. Another reason why Klal Yisrael was sent to Bavel. Ula Omar. Ula says, "Kedei sheyoichlu tamorim, v'yasku b'teira." Because in Bavel there was an abundance of dates, and Hashem wanted that Klal Yisrael would eat those dates, v'yasku b'teira, and they will occupy themselves with learning Torah. And so it seems that these dates are conducive to being able to learn Torah. And the Gemara says, Ula ikle le Pumpadisa. Ula actually came to a place called Pumpadisa. Krivu le, they brought to him, Tirinya de Tamra, a basket of dates. Omar luhu, he asked them, Kamo ki hani bezuza, how many of these dates can you buy for a single coin called a zuz? Omru le, they answered him, Tlas bezuza, three dates, you can get either three dates or three baskets. Not sure if it's talking about the dates of the baskets, but he said you can get three for a zuz. Omar, so Ula responded, Meloi tzano de duvsha bezuza, a basket full of honey, which you can buy for a zuz. So obviously it means that there was three basketfuls of dates that can make a basketful of honey, and you can buy it for a single zuz. Ubavloi le'oske b'iraisa, and nonetheless in Bavel they're not occupying themselves in Torah study. It seems that the dates is what helped. It was very sweet, and it helped them that they wouldn't be constipated, and it would make it easier for them to learn Torah. And it's so cheap. How can it be that they're not learning Torah even more than they are? Belaila, during the night, after Ula had consumed these dates that they brought him, Tiaru, he had something with his digestive system, was hurting him, and he was afflicted by these dates that he ate. Omar, so now Ula said to himself, Meloi tzano sama de moisa, a basket full of poison, bezuza, you can buy for a single zuz, bebovel, ubavloi oski beraisa, and he obviously took it for granted, since there's so many dates in Bavel, obviously they're all eating dates, and he saw now these dates are not good for the digestive system. He says, what, they're eating so much poison, they have so much access to poison, and nonetheless they're still learning Torah, and he saw that as a virtue, that in Bavel they were learning Torah in spite of the fact that the dates could cause upset stomachs. V'omer Rabbi Elazar, another teaching from Rabbi Elazar, Mai dichsiv, when it says in the pasuk, V'holchu amim rabim, and many peoples will go, V'omra, they will say, L'chu kam v'nale el har Hashem, let us go up to the mountain of Hashem, El beis Elukei Yaakov, to the home of the God of Yaakov Avinu. And the question is, Elokei Yaakov, is the Beis HaMikdash referred to as, or is the Beis HaMikdash referred to the home of the God of Yaakov? V'loy Elokei Avraham v'Yitzchok, seemingly to exclude that being a home of the God of Avraham or of Yitzchok. Elo, Loika Avraham Shekosov Boihar, that this pasuk is teaching us that the Beis HaMikdash indeed was not like Avraham Avinu referred to the Temple Mount, to the Harabayis, as a mountain. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Asher Yomer Ayoim, like it is said today, Behar Hashem Yeroyah, on Hashem's mountain, on the mountain Hashem is seen. Behar Hashem, on Hashem's mountain, Yeroyah, he is seen, Hashem is seen, referring to the Har Habayis as a har, as a mountain. V'loike Yitzchok Shekosuv Boisodeh, Yitzchok Avinu, when he was referring to the Har Habayis, to the Temple Mount, to the Beis HaMikdosh, Shenemer, it says, V'yitze Yitzchok Lasuach Basodeh, Yitzchok went out to daven in the field, and this wasn't just a random field, it was actually a field which was the place that the future Beis HaMikdosh would be built on, and Yitzchok, and the Pasuk regarding Yitzchok Avinu, calls it a Sodeh, not a mountain like Avraham Avinu, rather a field. Eloke Yaakov, the Beis HaMikdosh is referred to as a home, like Yaakov Avinu called the Beis HaMikdosh a home. Shekor Oibayis, Yaakov called it a home. Shenemar, as it says, Vayikra Shema Mokimahu, that Yaakov Avinu named that place that was later going to host the Beis HaMikdosh, Beis El, the house of Hashem. And that's what the Pasuk before was saying, that V'nale El Har Hashem El Beis Elike Yaakov, let's go up to the Beis HaMikdosh, which is not referred to as a mountain and not referred to as a field, rather like Yaakov Avinu referred to it, Elike Beis Elike Yaakov, that it's called a bias. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, another teaching from Rabbi Yochanan, Godel Kibbutz Goliyis Kriyim Shenivru Boi Shemaim V'oretz, the day that all the exiles are going to be gathered together is going to be such a great and momentous day as the day that the Shemaim V'oretz, the heaven and earth, were created. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, V'nikbetzu B'nei Yisrael, that the children, the B'nei Yehuda, that the B'nei Yehuda, the children of Yehuda, are going to be gathered, Ubnei Yisrael, and the children of Yisrael, Yachtov, they're going to be assembled together. V'samu lohem roish echo, they will appoint for themselves one leader. V'olu mina'ores, they will ascend from the land. Ki godil yoim Yisrael. That day is going to be called Yisrael, a day which Rashi brings from the Targum, is a lashon of gathering. That day of gathering is a great day. It's called Yoim Yisrael. Yoim. What is the day? Where do we find a very significant day? Look at in the Torah. It says the beginning of the Torah, Uchsiv, Vayi'ere Vayi'voiker Yoim Echod, that the very first day of creation there was a morning and there was an evening and there was a morning and then it was called one day, Yom Echad. So since the day that Klal Yisrael are going to be gathered from the exiles is called Yom Yisrael, it's as great as that first day that Hashem created the heaven and the earth. And in Yotz Hashem, in the next year, we're going to continue with the next Gemara, going back to our Mishnah, back to Hilchas Pesach.